We welcome you to the service tonight. We invite you to take your hymnal, turn to hymn number 128. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's stand as we sing. Problems today, and his children have him at the ER. I want to pray for him and my wife, who has a bad headache tonight. Just various troubles and afflictions that are common to us all. It seems like they become more common as we age for some reason. If you have your Bible, let's turn this evening to the second chapter of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. These are instructions, exhortations, encouragement to this young man, Timothy, from the aging Apostle Paul. But they're not only encouragements to him, but to his people, male and female, throughout the ages. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness or hardships troubles as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as a preacher of the true gospel. I suffer trouble even as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. They cast Paul into prison for preaching the truth, and they bound him, but he tells us clearly, he says, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that objective truth, unchanging and forever settled in heaven truth of your word. It is not our opinion. It is not our tradition. It is not our feeling that is the power and influence that guides your people. It is your word. It is, as the prophet said, Thus saith the Lord. And we come to your word tonight. We come to your servant that you've appointed for this time to hear your word. We come as those who are described in Scripture as the noble Bereans. And it says of them that they search the Scriptures to see if the things that Paul said were true. Even the great apostle had an objective standard by which he was measured, and that is your word. If they speak not according to this law, this testimony, it's because there is no light in them. Those are your words. And we come praying that we might, as we have read earlier, have that ear that hears. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord says. Grant us that hearing ear, that understanding, that faith that you give as a gift. And you give it as a gift because those to whom you give it, they're afforded that gift because of what Christ has already done when he came into this world and died the death of the cross. We bear before you all of these sick ones, all of these sick of your people, wherever they are. We pray that you would cause your word, cause this gospel to find them out by your Spirit. Save them and comfort them. Cause them to rejoice in the truth. Cause them to know that peace that you made by the blood of your cross. Cause us, Lord, to enter into true worship. Worship of the one who alone is worthy of worship. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We pray that you would help your servant tonight. He's a mortal man. He, like all of us, is a sinner in himself. He, like all of us, is weak and frail and without strength to do this tremendous task, which is to stand before men and speak in the name of God. Bless him to speak your word. We thank you for him. We thank you for making him faithful, for giving him that necessity to preach the gospel. And we ask you to help him, help his family, help his congregation as he's away. Help us, Lord. Give us that true interest. Cause us to need that necessary bread. So many who profess you, it's not necessary to them. The least little obstacles can stop them. But your true people, that's life to them. It's a matter of life or death. It's like the oxygen we breathe. We must have it to sustain this spiritual life that you've given us. We pray and we thank you in the name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can you humble us once again? Hymn number 177. And remember, this is the one we sing to another tune, so we use the first and second as the whole stanza, the whole verse. So we'll try that again. I messed up last time, so y'all bear with me.
There, through the book of Romans, a little verse here and verse there, and just explain it to them. And we were reading Romans, we started in Romans 1 the other night, and you know, Paul says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. And we sat there and we thought about, you know, I asked last, you know, or I was trying to explain to him that what Paul was separated, it says he was separated unto the gospel of God, but what was Paul separated from? And we just, there's probably, I don't have a seminary degree, I don't know all the answers, but I do know a few things that he was separated from. One, he was separated from his own self-righteousness. He was separate, and he goes and we see Paul talking about this. He starts to list all of his credentials, and he says, I count them all as dumb. So we know that Paul is separated unto the gospel of God from his self-righteousness. And we know that Paul and all of God's true sheep are separated from the lies and religion of this world unto the gospel of God. And we're separated from all of the things that we think that we bring to the table, and we're separated from all of those things until there's only Christ left. Christ and His finished work of righteousness. And for God's true sheep, you know, if there's anything progressive in our life, which I don't think it's, we get better and better and better, but the Lord and His sovereign grace bring, and by His Spirit brings us to understand more and more our complete and total inability to do anything that merits anything with God. And so all we have is Christ, and Christ is enough. So,
amen.
It's our only plea, is Jesus in my place.
On my worst of days, what has washed away my sin?
This is hope.
When I stand and face my God, bold and confident, I will say, Lord, this is all I have, living the life I could not live, dying the death that I deserve, bearing my sin to pay the price, rising again to give me life, Jesus in my place, Jesus in my place. This isn't the way it is. There's no hope for me. And I say, amen.
Yep.
Amen. That's exactly the way I feel. Christ alone. I'm delighted again tonight to have Brother Norm Wells. He's a pastor of Sovereign Grace Church in the Dalles, Oregon. And so he's come a long way, and we're thankful for it. Norm, you come and preach.
Thank you, Mark. I've been using one of these to read from, but I always want a backup. That battery gave me a fit one time. And Betty loaned me this, a watch. I asked for it. Brother Paul said more tonight in those comments than all seminary graduates with a DD can say. I will never forget what Brother Mahan shared with me after the Lord revealed Christ to me about school. He says, go to school and learn who discovered America and get in a gospel church and learn of Christ. And that's the truth. My goodness, when people substitute a seminary for the church, that's just poor. That is poor. Church is where education goes on about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the minister has love for the gospel in a gospel church. And that love is passed on through the preaching of the gospel to our hearts, and it emboldens us, and it raises us up out of our own condition and lets us see Christ in His clearness. So I'm thankful for men like your pastor who have been faithful to declare that and make a church a place where education goes on. That's more than we could ever ask anywhere else. Well, I appreciate it, Brother Gary, praying for our people out there in the Dalles. I ask you to pray for a couple of men that's going to be speaking tomorrow. You just remember one name and you got them both, Mike and Mike. They're going to be filling in out there in Oregon. And we've just been blessed. The Lord has opened the doors for us to go into the VA home out there at least once or twice a month with the gospel. And we've had a good hearing. And I got word back that everybody there could hear me. That was very important. The guy asked, you'll need a mic. I got my two mics. I got my two mics. And they're preaching the gospel for me. All right. Would tonight you join me in the book of John chapter 5. In the book of John chapter 5, I'd like to say a few words tonight. This is sober reading in this passage of Scripture. And if it wasn't for the grace of God that He gives us to understand and experience, and it's an experiment that God performs in us, we find here in the book of John chapter 5, beginning with verse 39, that the Lord, and this is God speaking, this is God, and it is straightforward, and to many people, it is rough language. When the Lord Himself says, "You will not come to me." To most people, that's harsh language because, well, that's so easy. You know, we come to ourselves and we come to religion, but to come to Christ is a miracle of God's free and sovereign grace. He's the one that gives us the ability to do that, to believe on Him. He opens, gives us a new heart. That's what's said in the Old Testament. And also it says, we have a circumcised heart. Now that's an impossibility on our part to do any of that, but the Lord does it so faithfully. And I was just reading there for a moment about in Hebrews chapter 1, I believe it is in verse 2, where it says, "And in these last days He has spoken unto us by His Son." So we're in the last days. I can tell you exactly when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back the second time. Now, it's not a date, but when the last sheep is saved, that's it. It's over. There will be nothing else. We're waiting for the last sheep to be saved. Wherever that person is, if they're born now, it's going to be quicker than we thought. If it's in 1,000 years, so be it. But that's what God has determined to do. He is not willing that any of His sheep should be lost, but He is long-suffering, and He will bring them on in. All right, John chapter 5, verse 39, the Scriptures share this. "Search the Scriptures, for in them..." Now, He's talking to a bunch of Pharisees, and the Pharisees are like so many people today. They believe that the Scriptures is their salvation, and the Scriptures are not their salvation. The Scriptures tell of our Savior. The Scriptures reveal Christ. And He says, "For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." Now most people in religion, I'm just going to say all people in religion never catch that last part. It's revealed. "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." What a statement He is making to a bunch of religious people. And He continues to make that statement right now. "You will not come to me." Now, He is all things well. He performed so many miracles. He fed so many people. He did so many gracious things. And yet people will not come to Him. We find at one time 5,000 men, plus women and children, left Him at one time because He preached the gospel to them. And one of the things that we noticed about that is that Jesus Christ did not go over to them and say, "Can't we work this out? Can we get this straightened out so that you can stay with us?" He let them go. And He turned to His disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" And His disciples said with one accord, just like His disciples say today, "Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Where will we go? We can't go anywhere else. Now, you leave if you can. If you can, you don't know. But if you do know, you can't leave. That's just the truth about it. And then He goes on to tell us here, "You will not come to me that you might have life." Verse 41, "I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you." How knowing Jesus Christ is. How knowing God is. He knows us inside and out. He knows us upside down and backwards. He knows our intents and the thoughts of our heart. And then He says, I go on, "And I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another came in his own name, him we receive." Isn't that the truth about religion? I will gather around somebody that seems to be important. But the Lord Jesus Christ gathers those who recognize His importance. That He is the King. That He is the Lord. And that only comes by revelation. We don't come to that conclusion on our own, even though we read it in the Bible. It must be revealed to us. And then He says in verse 44, How can ye believe which ye receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses was used by the Holy Spirit to write those books. He was the secretary. All those books were given to us by the Holy Spirit, and he was a secretary to write them down, and his message was the same message that we find the Apostle Paul preached. Jesus Christ and him crucified. He could say over there, as they brought in a lamb and slew it and applied the blood and burnt that lamb on the altar there, he could say, that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's a type of it going on right there. Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then it tells us in verse 47, but if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? You know, it is just something that as we read here, we find that the Lord Jesus speaks to these people and says, you will not come to me that you might have life. Well, I would like to look at a couple or three examples in the Scripture that share with us what God can do and cause His people to come to Him. These people would not come, and you and I would not come, if it was not for the call of Jesus Christ to our heart. We would have left, we would quit, we would have stopped, we would have remained in our religion, we would have just stayed where we are. If it wasn't for the grace of God coming down and applying the Word, we would stay where we are and have been satisfied with it till the very last breath that we had, and then we would have stood before God and said, I did many mighty works in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I even almost raised people from the dead. And he would have said to those on the left-hand side, and will say to those on the left-hand side, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And you know what? They will submit to his word then. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus to the glory of God the Father. Now, thanks be unto God that in this life, his elect, his sheep, will confess here. We will be brought to him and confess him. We will agree on him. We will agree on his power. We will agree on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We will agree on sovereignty. We will agree on sovereign grace. We will agree on the things that are so important found in the Scripture. We will not walk away and say, I don't believe that, because that would make us an unbeliever. And unbelievers will stand before God in justice. You know, I've had people recently tell me, when I talked to them about the gospel, I said, that's not fair. My friends, we don't want what's fair.
Amen.
You know what that would be? If God treated us fairly, we would all be on the left-hand side. We would all hear the judgment of God. We want grace. We want to be like that publican. The Pharisee said, I thank God I'm not like other people. And then pointed to this Pharisee over here that couldn't even raise his eyes to heaven and said, God be merciful. Now, mercy cannot be demanded. Mercy is given by grace. You go before a judge, you cannot demand mercy. You are wanting something, mercy. You want mercy. You want him to look onto you with merciful eyes. And it's not a demand. Demanding mercy is not asking for mercy. Demanding mercy is asking for justice. I've seen those TV judges, when people get a little rankled with the judge, they immediately come down with justice. All right. Let's, if you would, join me over in the book of Matthew chapter 8. In the book of Matthew chapter 8, we have such a wonderful statement here, made by the Lord of glory, as he plays out, as he brings to our attention. And I just want us to make this statement here. As we look at anything that Jesus Christ did during his ministry, he did everything he did on purpose. Every step he took was on purpose. everything that happened was foreordained before the foundation of the world. There was a plot and plan laid out in the covenant of grace that detailed every step He took on the face of the earth. Every word He spoke was detailed before the foundation of the world. And everyone He met on this earth was detailed before the foundation of the world. We could put and not hurt or harm God's word in any way, that every time we find Him visiting with somebody, it is the same as when He went down there to the Samaria and visited with that woman at Jacob's well. I must needs go through Samaria. Everywhere He went. And guess what? When He came to you, He must go to where you were without the gospel, brought the gospel to you, and brought you out of where you were and presented you spotless before the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He must do that. He must go where we are. That's His business. We'll not come to Him. He must come to us. And that's what we're going to find in these examples. But Jesus Christ worked there such gracious acts. And notice with me here in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and there in verse 1. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. And when He came, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. You know, most people would think Jesus would just turn around and have a revival meeting right there. But He's headed to a very specific person. One. One person. And this person is a leper. A leper. You know, from a Bible standpoint, leprosy is about the worst thing you could contact. It was terrible. It was, you almost had the sentence of death upon you. And by the way, when you had leprosy, you were to cry out to everyone around you, unclean, 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 so someone wouldn't come up and touch you. Well, here we have, behold, there came a leper. Now, notice what this leper did. Now, the point I want to see in these three examples is that these people had some knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ came to them. Someone told them something. You know, we just don't know. We just don't know the consequences of saying one word about our Savior to somebody. We don't know. It is not for us to know. We're not keeping tallies. Religion keeps tallies. Jesus Christ saves His people from their sins. Amen. That's what He does. All right? There is a leper, and He is intended. He has planned on this. He has purposed this from the foundation of the world. That before the world began, before He created Adam and Eve, before they ever fell, the script said, on this day, while I'm on this earth, I'm going to meet this leper, and this is exactly what I'm going to do. He is not surprised when He comes up to this place and there is a leper there. It says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him. How did He know about this? How did He know about the Savior? Someone had told Him that there was somebody that could do something for Him. Nobody else could. He could not be dealt with by religionists. He couldn't be dealt with by the priest. He couldn't have anything happen to Him that would be successful. He was a leper. And He was going to live a leper and die a leper. Unless somebody came that knew something about it and did something for Him. Now, the wonderful thing about this, He said, Lord, I have just found out in my ministry over the years that God's people recognize Him as Lord. The other day, a man said, I asked him how he's doing. He says, well, the man upstairs is watching over me. I thought, doesn't know a thing. He's not the old man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. He's the Lord God Almighty. And this leper recognized something about Him. And only people that God has worked a work of grace ever see this. They're the only ones that ever recognize this. They're the only ones that see Him for who He is. They have been revealed. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. What? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He goes on and tells us here he worshiped him and said, Lord, if thou wilt. Now, he's not making a demand. He said, Lord, if you will, it's up to you. It's your purpose. Whatever you purpose, I'm satisfied with. You know, the first people I was ever around in all my religious life, the first people, and I hate to use that word at this time, but the first people I was ever around that understood what God had to say when He had to say it was when I got around some sovereign grace people. They're the only ones that understood if God was purposed it and planned it and it was going to execute it, everyone would say, I deserve justice, and if that's what He wants to do, He can do it. Religious people, oh no, I've made my profession of faith. Religious, oh, I've been baptized. Religious, oh, I've asked Jesus into my heart. I've done all of that. I'm not expecting that. But God's people are the ones that recognize, woe is me. God's people recognize what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Now, it says here, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Someone. We don't even know their name. Someone. Somewhere. That met this leper said, there's somebody over there that can do something for you. You know why? Because over in the Old Testament, it tells us about a young maid told her master, if he was over there in my land where I just came from, Judea, there's a prophet that could take care of him. You know what his name was? Well, let's just look. His name was Naaman. Jesus said there were many lepers in Israel in the days of that prophet, but only one was healed, and that was Naaman the leper. And Naaman was a Syrian. And he wasn't even a Jew. And they got upset with that. He was teaching them some things about sovereign grace. I'm in charge of this. Now, he's in charge of this man being healed. Let's watch on here. It says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He didn't do a thing. The Savior did it all. He didn't do anything. Lord, if thou wilt. He didn't pray. He didn't get down on his knees. He didn't sign a card. He didn't come forward. He didn't go to some priest. He didn't go to some preacher. He came to Jesus only. And immediately, he was healed of his leprosy. Let's go look at another account, if you would. Found over in the book of Luke chapter 8. In the book of Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, we're introduced to a woman. And this... it's so interesting as we follow this account that the Lord Jesus is already on a mission. He's already going over to take care or look in on a young lady that is sick. And here in the book of Luke chapter 8, we find in the midst of that, the Lord has other business to tend to. He's saying, I've got to stop right here on my way to there. I have it appointed before the foundation of the world that I must take care of this issue. Now, notice with me here in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 43, the scriptures share this, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. An issue of blood 12 years. Once again, he must needs go through Samaria. Once again, he must meet this woman that has an issue of blood for 12 years. And it says she spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. Nobody could help her with her condition. And you know, when it comes to spiritual things, there is nobody that can help us with our spiritual condition. I remember going to the Dalles, and I was so used to another religious situation that I grew up in. I went to the Dalles and I said, don't you ever ask me to pray for you about anything unless, first of all, you've been praying for it yourself. Because I'm not a priest. I don't have any more in with God than you do, because we all have equal in with God. He's our Father. Take it to Him. Now, once you prayed about it, I'll be glad to help you pray about it. But we're not going to change God's mind. God's mind is made up, and He's not going to go against it, and we're not going to pray a change with God. If that's the kind of God that you want, it's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible changes not. He does not change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And we're thankful that He changes not. All right, as we look at here, He says, she had this great malady. Now, as I look at her life, at one time it appeared that she was healthy, but now she is sick nigh unto death. And at one time it seems that she had some wealth, but she has spent it all. She's broke. And at one time she was somebody, but now she's a nobody. And at one time she had friends, but apparently at this time nobody wanted to be her friend. After 12 years of sickness, nobody, but somebody told her of somebody that could take care of her malady. She is put in the right place at the right time. Now, she doesn't know how it's going to happen. And she doesn't know all there is to know about it. But she knows that if she comes to the right person, that God Almighty is going to already work a work of grace, has already done it, has led us to that point. What led you to go somewhere to hear the gospel? When Brother Henry Mahan came down to Central Point after the first night, I didn't want to go back. I told my wife, I hate that man. He was preaching the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace out of some normal places out of the New Testament. And all I could think about it was, that man, I hate him. Why? Because he was telling me my religion was worthless. And more than that, the Holy Spirit was working. She came behind him. This lady came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. No longer did she have this malady. No longer did she have this disease. No longer was she bothered with that. And it tells us here, Jesus said, now, just as we go over to the book of Genesis, we could turn over there and we could find after the fall, what did God do? He came down in the cool of the evening and He says, Adam, where art thou? You know, I had a preacher tell me one time, that proves God doesn't know everything. I said, you've got to be kidding. God knew where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to know where he was. Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You know, it's still a mystery to us, isn't it, Brother Gary? How God works His work. What are you talking about? We're in a crowd. Probably multiple people have touched you. But one touched them, caused by God Almighty. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people before what cause she had touched him and how she had been healed immediately. Confession. She confessed Christ. We can't do it before we're saved. We will do it after we're saved. We will not do that. We will not give God honor that's due unto Him until He saves us. And then we can't help but give God honor. He's the one. And then He said unto here, the most delightful thing that He could have said, and He says it all the time, daughter. You know what? The Father does all the things for the children. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, whose faith? It was her faith. Where did she get that faith? God gave it to her. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You know, I remember a preacher one time shared with me that his son came into his office and he said, Dad, for Christmas, I'd like to give you a really nice jacket and I'd like to give Mama some diamond earrings. He said, well, that'd be wonderful. Can I have the money? We don't have the ability, do we, until it's given to us. We can't have faith until it's given to us. We'll not reach out until it's given to us. We'll not believe until it's given to us. will not acknowledge until it's given to us. But when it is given to us, we hear those joyful notes, saved by grace, saved by grace, saved only by grace. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And that's what he tells every one of his children when he's saved. Go in peace. There's peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and nowhere else. I've heard people say just before a funeral, I hope they made their peace with God. We can't. Only He can. There's peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at another example found in the book of Mark chapter 10. In the book of Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, we have another example. Now, remember where we started? You will not come to me that you might have life. And that's natural. We will not come to him that we might have life. We'll do anything else. I read about peoples in certain lands under certain religious conditions will allow themselves to be nailed to a cross at Easter time. My goodness, what idiocracy. We say, that's foolish. They're just religious like we were. We do this foolishness too. But when we're saved by grace, we trust Him. Amen. Alone. And not our works. All right, Mark chapter 10. Would you turn there with me to Mark chapter 10? Another incident that took place here. And this man also had a problem, just like the other two did, but someone, we don't know their name. But someone said, go over there. Someone said, go over there to Sovereign Grace Church in Jacksonville. You'll hear something. Probably never heard it like that before. People have said that. Never heard anything like this before. God be pleased to reveal Christ. They'll go on saying, I just love what I'm hearing. All right. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. The scriptures share this. And when they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, how did he know about this? It's a mystery. But someone told him that there is somebody that could help him with his malady. There's someone that could help us with our sin. There's someone that can take care of our sin problem. We're born into sin. We live in sin. We'll die in sin unless the Lord takes care of it. Somebody tells us that somebody can take care of it. And when he heard it, with Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Once again, mercy is not demanded. Mercy is a gift. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know, as we read the first four words of this next verse, we find out God Almighty stood still on purpose to deal with this issue. What does it say? And Jesus stood still. He's got a mission to go through. He has a destiny. He has a place at Jerusalem. And on the way, he stood still to take care of a blind man. Blind Bartimaeus. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do for thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know, what is it? As we look at these people, what is it that was so different than those that Jesus talked to in the very beginning? He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. We have a woman with an issue of blood. We have a man that's a leper. We have a blind man. And all three of them were in the right place at the right time that Jesus Christ could take care of their problem. Someone told them that there's somebody that can do this. What was it? You know, why did the leper come to Christ? Because he's a leper. That's why he came. He had a need. Why did the blind man come to Christ? Because he's blind. Why did the woman with an issue of blood come to Christ? Because she had an issue of blood. She was sick. You know what the Lord told the rest of those Pharisees? He says, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. We'll always find the sick coming to Christ. We'll always find the sinful coming to Christ. We'll always find those that there's no hope whatsoever. That's the one the Lord brings. But those who are whole, they need not a physician. Why would they not come? Because they're already satisfied with their religious salvation. And if God didn't interfere with us, we'd be in the same exact boat. Satisfied with our religious salvation, which was nothing. And so, they have no need of a Savior. When you are already saved by your free will, religion, and good works, you will not come to me that you might have life. But sinners will come to the sin bearer because he moves in them to come. That's the only way. God is the Savior of sinners. God is the Savior of sinners. Only sinners. I've mentioned this many times in the past. You never had to ask anybody why they were in the city of refuge. You know, what kind of sin did you commit? You never had to worry about it. It was a terrible sin, and you're running for your life. Everybody understood that, so we don't have to compare notes. Everybody is a sinner that's saved. We don't have to go into depth. We just know that that's what we are. And God saves sinners. He passed over us because of the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, Brother Norm. Jesus described our helpless condition when he said, "No man can come." That has to do with our ability. But he said, "All that the Father giveth me will come to me, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, when they come, I will in no wise cast them out." Thank you, brother. I believe we're going to have some refreshments following the service, and we invite you to stay. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that good gospel, which is so effective in saving your people, and which ascribes to you all the glory and all the honor. Is truly to the praise of the glory of your grace. We thank you and pray for those that we mentioned who are sick. We pray that you would call out in our day your people. We know that they will all come. They will come to Christ, who said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.